From classics to curiosity and where melodies meet me. Welcome to Music Exposed.
Well, just what were you saying though? Because I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. So this is funny because we had this dream or vision or whatever you want to call it now when, I don't know, we were around, let's say 13-ish, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And remember the story. The whole story is this. We were big in hip-hop, which I'm very proud to say. There was a time where I was like, but we were big in hip-hop. We were writing, we were freestyling, we were having fun, we were living that life of the time.
So making music, yeah.
As children, making music the way we could figure out how.
By any means necessary.
By any means. We went to Long McQuaid. I don't think we had that available there. We went to Mountain Music.
That's what it was called. Mountain Music.
In Steel City.
Down the street from my house.
Yeah. We rented a microphone. I think your dad had a mixer. I don't know. We borrowed something from your dad.
We rented something
that we needed. We went to a store and we grabbed some instrumentals.
HMV, remember that store?
HMV, yeah. We grabbed some instrumental CDs. At least we're not saying records, so we're not
that
old.
Yeah, true, we're not that old.
We grabbed some CDs, and then we went to a destination, some family's house. I don't know if it was mine or yours
anymore. My basement.
It was your basement, okay. Yeah. The first time, yes. And we started recording our lyrics over instrumentals, as any rapper of the time would have done. But then we had a dream. I had a dream that we would move to Toronto and be rappers. And finally, here we are, years later, after doing everything but music, ended up both of us back in music in all sorts of different capacities.
Right.
Did you realize the rap dream, though, because you did touch
a Toronto stage.
In front of a big crowd.
Toronto stage, over 1,000 people.
Some, yeah. So,
that's funny.
Funny how that happens. But
remind me to ask you something off mic, too. I just remembered. But
yeah, go ahead.
That's
right
interesting.
Now. No, I'm just trying.
I don't know.
Like,
no way.
Why don't you say off mic? People are going to be like, what about us?
Yeah, no kidding. But it's interesting.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of something. But yeah, it is hilarious when you think about some of those conversations that we had and to see where we are now. And it's like, one way or another, we accidentally stumbled back onto the road, I think.
It says a lot. Because as kids, there's so many ways of saying it, but before you're programmed or reprogrammed or you start taking on this other set of beliefs as to what is possible or what you can be,
you go
through that stage where anything's possible and you could be anything and you probably pretend to be everything, like as a child, right?
I'm
a fireman this day, I'm this the next day.
Yeah.
And that was, when you go back to those thoughts, if you could remember them, it's like, man, is this the true me? Is this
right?
This was what I wanted to be before I thought about all the other possibilities, or there's no money in music, or this or that are the fake beliefs that were out there, right? That was our thing. We wanted to be rappers. I can't lie. I'm very grateful that that wasn't the path that I took personally, because it's not as easy as some others in the industry.
Yeah, yeah.
And nothing's easy, but that's definitely a hustle. And a lot of work that I wasn't willing to put into as far as marketing myself that way.
A lot of people aren't willing to. A lot. But yeah, I think it's hard. Do you think it's got to be harder to be a rapper than like a budding R&B singer? Because I've seen some try their hardest as that.
That's
too,
so true.
Really, really tough.
I just feel like now at this point with all that we've learned, it's all hard, obviously, but I feel okay, so R&B singer, you're going to get some corporate work, you're going to get some weddings some people are against it, right? Like some people are artists only, they don't want they don't want to do covers. So that's tough.
Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? Because I've struggled with that too, and you know the ultimate decision I made, but it's like I know a lot of artists that are like dead set against doing covers. And it's been a hindrance to their career as opposed to, you know, living as their true self or whatever you want to call it as to why you don't want to do covers. But I would like to speak to somebody that has that opinion and kind of, you know, hear their side of the story. Because I do kind of understand, but maybe they could explain it a little bit better.
Like the reasons.
But I think a gentle hybrid of both is important, because to be honest, unless your music is super, super fire, it's not going to resonate right away. However, if you can relate and do a sweet cover or sweet cover, you can do a dope cover of sweet. Any song that, you know, an audience can, can know, I think it would be beneficial to the artist to kind of get their name out there and kind of just,
that's the thing, the exposure, the right?
Cover. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm always curious as to why some artists are dead set. And while I think the formula should be create, you always should be creating original music, come into the scene, latching on, but kind of using that
basically
to get the exposure,
leverage,
and then
once, right?
Exactly. And then leverage that audience to expose your stuff and to debut your stuff. And hopefully in between your creations, you drop another little cover and you continue
to
kind of just,
that makes sense. Yeah.
That makes the most sense to me. And yet a lot of people are dead set against it, but I had an idea, and God willing, if I had the studio still to put it in, I would have wanted to implement something where, you know, people would come through, but I don't want to say it out loud.
Like something along the realms of development.
Right. And kind of, you know, helping people get that exposure. Because in Canada, I still think we struggle to get exposure to an audience that's thirsty. Every time I go, I think about Much Music and what that represented for the bigger names and sometimes the smaller names. It was a destination where you knew you had eyes. Everybody went there. So obviously the young pups or the people that want to come up in the game want to get on there.
There's a level of like just attractiveness, right?
Right. Yeah. It's a look. Yeah. It's a musical staple that everybody kind of knows and can be drawn to and expose you to music that you never heard of before. So you'd watch Rap City, but then right after Rap City was new music and you could be schooled to a new artist you'd never heard of.
So yeah, from all across Canada and beyond. Right. It was cool. And it was an industry.
Right. It wasn't. And it was like these young VJs that were just passionate about music, exposing you to music. And I think Canada needs that still. We need a spot that everybody can kind of go, this is the place for, you know, XYZ. And
one
day it'll happen, but
it's hard to say now because we talked about last week AI, so that's one part of this, but then you still have the whole virtual world that we're living in as well,
right?
So it's that thing, like, are people willing to get together? Are people willing to make, like, it has to be established first these days,
right?
Like, now everything seems to me to be like proof of concept. Like, yeah, it's a great idea in theory. Yeah, it's been done before and it worked magnificently. But who's going to build it, like build the infrastructure to the place that it needs to be before I'm willing to come in with my, whether you're talented or not, but let's just say with my very little credibility, you know, I'm a new artist, but even still, because I could put myself on Instagram in front of 100,000, a million people. It seems to me like people just aren't willing to do what it would have. Like, you don't have the dog in you the same way as people did in years before now, right? Like, putting yourself out there as far as leaving your house for something other than a photo shoot, no diss. But, like, Much Music, you were going down, like, you had to drive to a place and maybe fight for a chance to be seen or be heard or talk to the right person. Like, there was a lot of hustling that was happening behind the scenes, just like, let me throw this and see if it sticks. Let me see if someone notices this post today. Let's see if I could go viral by doing this. Like, it's just a different game. So the ideas that we have and that you just described, is there still a place for that?
Well,
in Canada, let me specify.
I would say personally, and maybe I'm biased, I feel that it could thrive. And I still believe strongly in the magic of live performances. And,
live audiences.
I believe in live audiences and the energy. You know, one of the guests that we hope to have on real soon is one of those examples that I have of, you know, it's one thing to see her perform on TV or on YouTube, but it's another thing to be in the room and feel it. Like, there's a feeling you get. And that lady,
about?
Patricia Shirley.
Oh, yeah. So she's actually the next guest that we're going to interview after today.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. So she'll be our next round. And yeah, she is dynamic. She's a beast.
Yeah.
Powerhouse. Yeah. Continue with your thought. I just wasn't sure if you're talking about her or not.
No. Yeah. So it's just like, that's one of the examples. And there's been so many shows and so many times I've been in a room and the energy that's in that room is unexplainable. And especially, I know people might not like this, but growing up and even to this day, you go around a good gospel room where the energy is there. Everyone's kind of in the right frame of mind and willing to receive this, you know, the gospel music that's coming out. It's magical. It's next level. And there's something there that I think humans will always need. So I'm not saying it's going to be on the scale of much music, but to have a small place where that can happen to me is absolutely necessary. And I really want to see it happen in my life.
It'd be nice. Yeah. And you said much music, I'm thinking, because even for us, I don't know if you went down, but for myself, it was still almost the virtual experience back then, because we weren't going down.
We weren't there.
Like there was a lot, there was a community of people that were going down there that were seeing the shows, seeing the artists live on the streets.
Yeah.
Toronto was a long way for us, so we weren't making there for that.
That's true.
So I imagine what their experience.
And we were younger though, at the same time.
And we were younger too. Like
we were in our teens
allowed.
Or thing. I think you and Jay would have been dancing on Electric Circus.
Queen Street. Oh wow, you're a jerk. Dancing on Electric Circus.
Tell me I'm wrong. Man. Tell me there wasn't a period of time that you and him would have not considered. Just shout out to our boy Jay, rest in peace.
I could guarantee you
I strongly
that he was down there several times on Electric Circus, but not on camera.
Right. Yeah, I will believe that. I would believe that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think I
could also admit now, with no shame, that the only reason why I didn't go is because I missed my ride.
Oh, that's amazing.
I was going to go with them once. Thank God I didn't. Because I'd be the fool that ended up on camera when they did.
On camera, yeah. Just, I'm wilding out.
Be pulling it out right now. Yeah, but it was good times. But yeah, I'm saying, imagine what the experience of the people who are actually down there seeing. Like, because you got everyone from Kurt Cobain to like Tupac. And it was just...
Yeah,
it didn't matter what your style was. It was a place to go. So yeah, the live shows must have been crazy. Especially, I know they had some stuff that was more like impromptu, right?
Right,
where it shows up or like it's just it would have been a different world, different type of scene, different memories. Yeah. But
you don't think that could ever happen again, even if it was just like an online channel that dedicated to getting, you know, everyone knew go to this site. And you're going to see all
online,
the stars.
I could see it, yeah. Mm. Well, like things like Tiny Desk, that's a big example. But that's like,
yeah, but that's global, American. And
that's American. And
it's not
really
as organic.
Copy.
Well, you could.
Oh, yeah, well, that part.
You could. And I think people have tried, but it hasn't really worked. Which is
people keep trying until it works. I think that's just the way. I feel like that's the formula of today. If it doesn't work, you just keep trying, or someone else is going to keep trying
Some things, and this is what happens a lot in television, especially in North America, they take ideas from other countries and try and like convert them over, and not all the time does those conversions work. One of my favorite music shows is called Later with Jules Holland, and Jules Holland, it was on BBC, and Jules Holland is a piano player, and the show would start with, you know, he's in a circle. So imagine a big circular stage. And I'm just naming. It was so random. But it would be like Red Hot Chili Peppers are in one corner as a band set up playing. And then the camera would pan to the right.
Yep.
And it would be like John Legend. And he'd be at a piano playing. And then it would keep going around in the circle. And it would be like, you know. It was always random. It was never like a group of R&B people. It would be like Red Hot Chili Peppers, John Legend, Florence and the Machine, I think that's the name of the group. Forgive me if I got that wrong. And like Melanie Gardeau, and then
this was a real thing, like a real show,
all in the same room. And then like John Mayer, and they would start where he would play a little like riff at the beginning, and all the band would kind of just play along, and that was the intro. The audience is clapping, and then he'd be like, "Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen." No real like long fanfare at the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get to it. Red Hot Chili Peppers, and they would play a song, and be like, "Oh, that was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful." Now, our next guest, he would say something. It was just an organic, fun music show where there wasn't really like, you knew the Red Hot Chili Peppers were promoting an album, or, you know, clearly John's trying to promote something. That's what happens in North America. Anyone that comes on a show, they're promoting an album, they're promoting something they're doing. Whereas it was just, they're in London, they were asked to be on the show, and they're just going to perform some songs. And that format not only was really, 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 really a brilliant format, but the idea, I think, was stolen and brought to Canada in the early 2000s by Elvis Costello and CTV. And it didn't really work as well because they overproduced it, in my opinion. And I think they just tried too hard. And if you just tried to keep, and that's what I love about British programming and you know, other places, they don't try to overproduce it too much. They just kind of do their thing.
Real.
And if it works, it works. And I think that a lot of times North America tries to do a little too much. It's overproduced. They're really visualized, if that's even a word. But like, they overproduce these shows too much.
Yeah, no,
and
I get it.
ruins the experience. And I think sometimes
organic,
we get
it's
got to be. But that show, if you get a chance, check it out later with Jules Holland. It's my favorite, and it introduced me many different bands. Like
that's wild.
Kurt Elling. I never heard of Florence and the Machine before. I believe that's the name. Even like Kings of Leon. There's another lady that's from Cape Verde. I forget her name, but she sings a song called Mana. Melanie Gardeau, who to me is one of my. She's so. If it makes sense, but she's got such a, I don't want to say simple because I don't want to diminish how beautiful her voice is, but there's so much beauty in her simplicity, the way she sings a song and the way she just carries herself.
Hey, I got to take some notes on this.
It's really, really names. Brilliant. But So it really helped me expose me to more and become fans of people. Rodrigo y Gabriela.
That's a big part of this too, right?
Exactly, which is a huge part is the exposure. Yep. And I think some people have done it right. And I think there could still be something like that. Maybe not on that scale because, one, you have a BBC budget and they're ginormous.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
And two, like, to get those iconic bands in a room all on one day is not that's an easy task.
Like
a, you know?
That's why I didn't. Yeah, it sounded like something where they pieced it together, but all on one day.
But imagine having a cool headliner, like someone everyone knows, and then someone we think is cool that, you know, the world hasn't heard of yet that could really
use the
exposure. So I think there's something there where you could kind of have a mishmash of one person everybody knows that would bring the audience and then expose the audience to other people at the same time.
That's true. Yeah. I guess there's ideas for days, man. I'd love to see something like that on any level, just allowing music to be music, allowing artists and creators to create and have a platform to share their work. And I mean, obviously, well, circling back. So the reason why sort of it's hard for me to imagine something like a Much Music or anything on that scale.
Right.
Without it being overproduced and having like big industry involved is because it seems like there's a whole level. I don't know if it's the lowest level. I don't know how many levels there are, but just live music venues have taken such a hit. And probably for so many reasons, the costs of maintaining venues. And then on the flip side, the lack of support or attendance or interest in, from people going to live shows that aren't put on by big artists or anyone with a big following.
I think part of it, though, we've learned the hard way what the real problem is with some of these shows not being attended to properly. And we've seen the flip side of when the marketing is on point
Okay, so we've learned it both ways, right? Right.
So I think
gotcha.
I think there's some accountability that could be made there for some of these shows that aren't getting the
audiences. Let's break that down.
Sure.
Because we tried, what would we call it? What do you call it? Like a street team approach?
Yeah, right.
And we did okay.
Guerrilla marketing.
Guerrilla marketing.
Okay. Yeah.
So depending on the venue size, I don't know, you might need more people if you go to a larger scale, but say like a 400 whatever person venue, you can fill out with word of mouth, a little bit of sharing online, which we didn't do much of in those cases. But like we had people on the streets literally like shaking hands and saying,
flyers.
What's up,
yeah,
come
yeah,
out to the
yeah,
show, right. Handing out flyers. Old school, man.
Old
might as well
school,
have some
exactly.
CDs in the trunk.
Right, right.
But it worked for the scale, right? And we tried to scale that approach up a bit. Didn't have quite the success. I think we probably matched the success in a bigger room, so it didn't feel quite as good.
But I think, again, if we had handled the marketing part a little differently, we could have filled the room.
Like gone beyond the street, the guerrilla marketing.
And give ourselves more time to market. I think that was the other problem. Like a lot of people think that they can fill up a room in 1, 2, 3 months. And I would argue that you need a minimum of 6 months. Because think about, if you think about like the ads I see right now, even when Taylor Swift, she's not coming out. She wasn't coming out until late this year. And they were selling her tickets last year, right? So when you think about if Taylor Swift is going to a stadium and, you know, obviously the scale is much grander, but you could dumb that down. She gave herself a year and a bit to sell tickets. And they sell out quickly, but still, you had a year to market that show.
I guess you want some guarantees on that too.
Right.
Sooner the better.
And I think that a lot of people don't give themselves the proper marketing strategy when it comes to promoting their shows. And they think just off of the strength of friends and family and word of mouth that it's going to work. And I can't stress enough that, and I've learned this in business, and I'm sure you have too, that marketing matters. And if you don't have a marketing plan, I honestly worry about your ability to scale or even like,
it's so true.
You know, grow your business. And I would argue for artists that the same applies in music.
It is
you should be minimum, have your calendar mapped out for the year. And you should be marketing towards that for months and months. And
at least some big goals on the year that you're marketing towards, right?
Right.
That's
and I
true.
Think I think that to me seems to be the number one red flag that I've seen in just local shows that I've gone to that are struggling to get filled. They don't give themselves enough time and they don't really have a I don't want to say robust, but just even like execute a smart marketing plan. And we've been guilty
of
that. I don't want to put like,
needs to be
on like everyone. And I've seen what happens when an effective marketing plan gets put out. And
on the flip
results,
side of what we did first, right?
Exactly, right.
Yeah, no, yeah. It seemed like the venue size didn't seem to be a factor when the marketing.
At all.
But again, that was 8 months out, 9 months out.
See, exactly.
Strictly online.
Right.
Targeting, reaching the right people and some strategic placement of ads and all that good stuff that needs to come
Because there's
in.
Another, oh yeah, I'll tell you.
These are valuable tools.
There's another, there's another group that's doing really well. And they're touring locally and they're selling out decent size spaces. And so to me, I think there is an audience for live music. I would argue that it's a hot ticket.
It still
item,
exists, right?
And there's still a dying need for it. It's just
it should
we
be
as a
stronger
community
now. It really
need
should.
To get 100%. Yeah. It blows my mind that it's not. But again, there's so much segmented groups and there's so much. We're so sparse in terms of just coming together in the community to really kind of find a way
and that's
to
even like
grow
a community of like a music community even.
Right,
it's just,
exactly.
And if you could break it down further than that, but overall, it's very divided.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, it's like, I don't know if it stems from fear because if you're an artist, it's really important to get your music out there.
Right.
Should be.
That's the goal.
I assume,
yeah.
Right. But then there's so much because now it could be overwhelming. I'm sure we've talked about this before when you think some of the things you mentioned already today, the marketing, so social media, if you have an event coming up, selling tickets, keeping up the image, creating the music, staying relevant, building, growing your craft. Like there's a lot And all this is free. Like, you haven't made a dollar until you actually sold a ticket or sold a product. So the majority of the work in the day-to-day, until or unless you establish or find other avenues, nobody's paying you to do.
Right. And that's tough. And I think that, I've seen another mistake of, like you said, there's a lot that goes into it, and people put all their eggs in the image basket and the, you know, the visuals basket. And it's, you know, with no money for marketing, nobody cares how cool you look beside that car, or, you know, the set that you created for this image that's not real, that you now have to uphold. And now you're spending more free of your hard-earned money trying to uphold the image, you know? And
that's a whole nother thing right there.
Whole nother thing. And I think,
the rabbit kind of goes deep.
Yeah. You should be working on, you know, your craft and making the music and just keep putting it out, trying to get, you know, that stage time, raggedy as, you know, bummy and whatever, where you can wear nice clothes. You know, my clothes aren't, I won't say, you don't wear expensive clothes.
I'm different. My clothes are different now, but I've reached
But I'm just saying, like, you can look good in some, like, normal clothes that don't have to break your budget. You don't need to wear the name brands.
Live within your means.
Exactly. For sure. And I think artists need to really hone in on that part, living within their means. Because if you can sing, I don't care what you're wearing at all.
Isn't that true? And sometimes sometimes the best voices are like, you know, the style thing, but it could be more like, you know, until you open your mouth, it'd be like, what the heck? But
and most of them don't have a style until they get a stylist, right? Like, some very famous artists that looked bummy and looked weird, and you could tell they had no sense of fashion. But they were talented, and eventually the image will come. People will hook you up, and they'll lace you in the nice clothes. But
your gift will make room for you,
right?
Put you before great men, and I truly believe that it's not going to happen necessarily as quickly as
on your time.
As quickly as we want it, or on your time, on my time. But it will happen. I truly believe that it's just a matter of chipping away every day, setting goals, working towards your goals, developing yourself from the inside out. Constantly, consistently, and
developing an appetite for shit. And I say that in terms of just being able to eat, because you're gonna go through a lot of
crap. I'm not a man that likes to eat poo.
I'm telling you, in your life,
but yes, you have to.
You're going to have to get a thick
deal with hard times. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, 100%.
It's the worst.
You're gonna eat plates.
The worst phrase I've ever heard. Ever.
I had somebody at a very big company. I won't say the name of the company that I worked for. Iconic brand in Canada. And they were literally talking about, you know, that analogy.
DNA project. Gotcha.
being able to eat plates of shit, because you're going to have a lot of hardships.
Starting from the bottom, right?
Exactly.
And don't expect caviar when you're...
Right.
And that, I mean,
and celebrate the small victories.
I've been guilty of not celebrating. I'm better at it now, but that is important.
Yes.
That is important.
Mm-hmm.
Cause when you're grinding and you're so focused on getting to a place or creating a thing, you could just take these wins as like, okay, now what can I do better?
Right. Right.
So celebrate those victories for sure. But I can't say it enough. It's not where you are right now. It's, I believe that it's who you believe that you can become. And then you have to embody that person and be that person. So, it's going to take a while maybe to sell people on the fact that, I have a nice voice, but I can do more with it. Or, you know, I have a talent in this area. Especially if you're doing – we never talk to these people. Especially if you're doing something else. If you're in IT or if you're working at, I don't know, Burger King, but you're an artist, you're a creator, or whatever, you have a bigger dream. It's hard to go from where you are now to where you want to be when your reality is so far from where you are.
Right.
And I think that's where the consistency every day of just, I don't want to say grinding, it is grinding, but just consistently doing the things to make yourself better at what you want to do.
Right.
And it means staying away from other distractions just to build yourself.
Yeah.
We've seen people who kind of almost go into hiding, like you don't hear from them too much. And then they come out on the other side and you're like, whoa, what were you doing? Like it takes time to develop. There's the whole 10,000 hours thing, whatever.
I remember that being with you. I didn't want to say people, whatever. I'll speak on it though. But I remember a time where, we were living life. Life was great. You know, we were making mistakes. We're young and dumb, full of cum, and we were just running around these streets.
Who are you, man?
I got to spice it up, man. We got to spice it up. Trying to take this pod to the next level, bro.
And I was down in the basement doing
In the basement. And I knew you'd played bass, right? We had known you disappeared. You left the city. You were out in Brampton. We didn't really get to see you that often. And me and Omari or me and Andrew went up to go visit you. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you're friggin' Silky Lavender. And it was like, yo, what the
Oh man, this is why you should be on stage. You should be on stage.
Like, yo, this kid can slap the bass.
Silky Lavender.
What's going on? And it was inspiring and like it was incredible to see because I knew what it sparked in my little brother. And even in me, it was inspiring and motivating. And Andrew was like, oh snap, and he got on his grizzy too. And now his drums are top notch and you're right. When you get low and you don't know what people are doing, and then all of a sudden they come out and they're like, oh, snap. I love seeing that. I like it.
Just takes some time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's it, man. I hope, I feel like we've helped somebody. You've helped me. It's good. I'm going to check out some of the artists that you mentioned, but also it's just a good reminder sometimes that where you are now isn't where you're destined to be.
100%.
There's greater in me, there's greater in you, there's greater in all of us. So it's just a matter of we're not going to wait on somebody else to discover you and discover me and pull it out. I'm going to find ways to get it out of me every day. A better me makes me happier, makes me more whole, and it makes me better able to serve you, be a friend, be a everything to everybody else I need to be. So
wholeheartedly improve yourself and everything around you will improve. I'm a living testament of that, and so is my partner in crime here.
Change one thing. That's the challenge right now. Change one thing. Give yourself one better habit and watch how it affects everything else that you're doing.
Find I'm literally going to try that today because you mentioned that. I'm going to try and change one thing today. This for the week.
Yeah, let's do it.
I like it.
Let's do it. I'll find my one thing too.
All right, bro. It's always great talking to you.
It is always a pleasure, man. Until next time, stay well.
Stay safe, everybody.
Thanks. Peace.
A lot of you are familiar with the DNA Project and have been rocking with us for a while, but some of you aren't. A lot of you are faithful listeners of the podcast, but aren't familiar with some of the other work that we do. So I just want to take a quick moment to explain to you a little bit more of what we do. So you're getting married, or you have a friend, a cousin, a sister, somebody you know is getting married. Okay. You've booked your venue, caterers, photographer, all that good stuff. When it comes to live music, most people have no idea where to look. We have you covered. Picture this. During the ceremony, while guests are being seated, or while the bride's walking down the aisle. During the cocktail hour, while guests are just mingling and having a good time. Don't forget about dinner music, that's very important to set the mood while guests eat. And we definitely can't forget the party. Let's get the party started right now with the DNA Project. www.thednaproject.ca for more information.